When I was a teenager, my mother would always talk to me about this saint. She had read or was reading at one time, right around the same time as I entered the seminary, the classic and wonderful biography of this saint by Abbé Trochu, which is still available. It's very, very long, very detailed, but very wonderful. It was the life of Saint John Baptiste Marie Vianney, who is now the patron saint of priests, especially parish priests. He was born right at the time of the Revolution, the French Revolution. The priests and bishops who did not make an oath of obedience to the government were either executed or persecuted in any other way, so they went about hiding throughout all of France, some of them escaping to Spain or Italy or northerwards as well. But there were a few who would come at night, and indeed that is how he was baptized, at night, most probably in his father's barn, and it was in the little village of Dardilly in the Archdiocese of Lyon. And so there he also was to receive his first Holy Communion. But there were no schools. Everything had been closed up except those things which taught the Masonic communistic religion of the state of that revolution, which destroyed France and almost destroyed the church and destroyed the monarchy. In the meantime, he grew, and the Spirit of God is not to be thwarted by anyone, no matter how powerful. And so soon enough, he decided that he was to being called by God to become a priest. In fact, he had been, it was around the time of Napoleon, by this time when he was around 19 years old, that he was conscripted into the army by Napoleon. And because of not understanding exactly where he was to meet or whatever, he missed the train. And so anybody who misses the train often should pray to St. Jean Vianney. So anyway, by missing the train, he was immediately regarded as one who had been remiss in this and was running away from military conscription. And so he had to flee, and he went to another village, not his own, but they would look for him there immediately. And he began to serve as a tutor to a family and help around the farm. Eventually, his parents found out that Napoleon had given a pardon for deserters, and so between that and his brother entering the army in his place, he was forgiven. And at that time it was that he was allowed to be under the tutelage of his very great patron and friend, Monsieur l'Abbé, who himself taught him in his rectory everything that he needed to know to be a seminarian. And of course, one of the big problems for Jean Vianney is that he really had not very much literary a background, and he had a really hard time with learning Latin. But he eventually did, perhaps not like Cicero, but definitely he learned it. And of course, the other seminarians eventually, when he went to the seminary in Lyon, were to make fun of him, not only because he was by this time older than they, but he also did not know as much as they. So he made do, and the bishop put him back under his pastor's tutelage, so he could be homeschooled, as it were. Eventually, he passed all the exams with great difficulty and was ordained a priest. And he was sent to serve with his pastor as his vicar. And then his pastor died, and he was, of course, this was a tremendously hard thing for him. It cost him very, very deeply. And he was sent to a village where there had not been mass in 30 or 40 years, the church in the little town of Ar. So he went, and when he got there, the doors were open, half off the hinges, and we went in to pray. He found that there were chickens and roosters roosting in the tabernacle. So he got a broom and chased them all out and began to clean the church. And there was a really old lady that could barely do anything, and she helped him. And she was to be his housekeeper, but I think it was more or less the other way around. And, of course, he was very Spartan in his diet. He ate, literally speaking, green, rotten potatoes, and not much of else, not much meat, no chicken, nothing. He could have at least kept the chickens and eaten them, but he didn't. In the meantime, His Holiness grew and grew and grew. Already he was a saint. There's no doubt about it. So soon, he began to convert the people there. First of all, he forbade dancing in public, or dancing, period. And then he went into all the places that were not going to Mass and began to beat on them. And then also, at this time, he was begun to be visited by a certain person whom he called Green Claws. And of course, we know Green Claws very well. And Green Claws would come at night and would throw the furniture around, what little furniture there was, and throw him around. And of course, the people in the town would come outside his window and hear all these screeches and all the bumping around, and they knew what it was. Little by little, this also helped the curé d'Ar to convert the village. And then other people heard about it. And so many began to come for confession to him that they had to build a train line to Ar in order for them to get there, because they were just fainting through the roads, especially in the summer, or freezing to death in the winter. So the emperor, by this time, Emperor Napoleon III, he built a railroad. And when there was need, also Napoleon and his wife, the Empress Eugenie, came to Ar, or sent their servants, to plead for their children who were sick, or this, that, or the other. Many, many thousands and thousands of persons came. He spent, of course, in those days, the churches were open. Even though there was a lot of evil, the churches were open. Thieves respected the Church of God. So the churches were open, and he spent sometimes as many as 18 hours hearing confessions, one after the other, after the other. People who came to Ar by those trains, they would have to write their name down, and it would be 3 or 4 days before he could hear their confessions. So in addition to that, though he closed down all the dancing bars, nevertheless, they had to reopen as restaurants for all these people that were coming that had to eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So St. John Vianney did that as well. In the meantime, people were more and more converted in the village, and soon enough, the village was an example. There were just a few people that were not converted. He had a great devotion at that time, the relics of St. Philomena, virgin and martyr, whose sanctuary and body lies in her sanctuary in Mugnano da Napoli. She was found, and she became very popular, and the Pope promoted her. And St. John Vianney, who himself was performing many, many, many miracles, attributed them to her. They were his, but he said that it was she who was doing the miracles. So many, many people came. In the meantime, he had to enlarge the church, and it was most beautiful. He had to get vestments and candle holders and this, that, chandeliers and everything that a church needs. And one thing about him was, so he was very poor in himself, the things that he did for the church, the paraments for the altar, the tabernacle, and the mass, including the vestments of the priest, were among the best that could be found at the time. He found one of the nobility who was there in Ar, and he would go with her to shop in Lyon, where nothing was good enough for him, for the vestments and everything that he bought for our Lord. So he gave us the example, an example that was also given by St. Francis of Assisi, who, being poor, nevertheless, did and gave the very, very best to God. So today, we venerate this holy priest, and he is, of course, invoked in problems with people who have attacks from the devil and so forth, and he is used, and especially his relics are used for exorcisms of all kinds of evils and illnesses and diseases. So today after Mass, I will bless those who come up with the first class relic of Saint Jean-Baptiste Marie Vianney, patron saint of priests. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.